All right. Hi, everybody. It's 6 o'clock here on Wednesday evening, and you're at First Baptist Church. Well, really, you're not. You're at your house or your place of work. But we are at First Baptist Church here in Rockport, and normally we have our Wednesday evening services, and we have our children and lots of things going on. But obviously, with what's going on in our world today, we're trying to praise God and worship Him together any way we can. So we're going to go on and start this evening with a psalm, because the psalms are so comforting. They bring us so much peace. And so if you have your Bible with you, go on and turn to Psalm 46. And we'll also give a chance for those who are just now starting to find us and tune in and that kind of stuff. So we'll give you a chance also to catch up with us. All right, so I'm going to read Psalm 46 to you. It says, God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, and she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire, and he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. All right, we're going to start with a really favorite hymn here. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him more and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, for grace to trust him more. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Mm-hmm. clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder, blessing and honor, strength and glory and honor be to you, the only wise King. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder, at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. I will adore you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, now I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you, you are my King, you are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, now I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. Let me honor you in all I do. I honor you. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. But here's the good news. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Would you bow your heads and pray? Lord Jesus, we lift up this time to you. Father, we praise you for who you are. We praise you for your grace. We praise you for your mercy. Lord, we praise you in the good. We praise you in the bad. Lord, we trust you. Lord, I know that there's a lot of people watching right now who may be scared. And Lord, I just pray that your peace, your Holy Spirit, Father, would just wrap your arms around them. I pray that you would comfort them. Lord, I pray that for those who are sick right now, Lord, in your precious name, the name of the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for healing, Lord, in their lives. I pray, Lord, for these coughs. I pray, Lord, for the cancers, Lord, for whatever it is that's going on, Lord, I ask for your healing upon these precious people. Lord, speak to us right now. Speak to us through Pastor Scott. Father, your servants, we are listening. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Marcy. Hello, everybody. We sure miss having you all here at the church, and we're looking forward to the day when we can all gather together again in one place. Who knows when that will be? I don't know. Only the Lord knows. And tonight, the text we're going to study is found in Mark chapter 4. It seems like to me, as this day has rolled on, the news has just gotten worse around the state, around the nation, as things continue to shut down to try to slow or stop the spread of the coronavirus. And more communities are taking drastic actions to try to make that happen. Here locally, the word went out this afternoon about the Aransas County School District tentatively dismissing their meetings in person at least until after Easter, which means that the fabric of our local society is about to unravel as husbands and wives and children are all trying to survive together at home from one day to the next. I feel certain not all of us will make it, but God's will be done. I wonder, how are you handling the stress of the current state of affairs in our community, in our country, and around the world? How do you think you're going to manage this rapidly changing situation as we go forward from one day to the next? The Bible teaches that God is with us amidst the storms we face. And as I've been saying every day this week in the daily devotionals, God is at peace, and God is our only source of peace. Because God is with us, we can have peace within the most frightening, difficult, and painful circumstances of our lives. Experiencing peace in the storm, however, is easier said than done at times. When we say that God is with us in the storms that we face, that means that Jesus is with us too, right in the midst of those storms. And I want us to think about that truth tonight, maybe in ways that we haven't really thought about before. So here's my question. If Jesus and I are facing the same storms together, do I trust God the same way that Jesus trusts God? Let's look at the text. Mark chapter 4, I'm going to start reading in verse 35. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in a boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Be quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Now let me give you two things to think about tonight related to the storms we face, the presence of Jesus, and whether or not we are responding to those storms the same way that Jesus does. First thing I want to tell you is that the quality of my faith in God can determine how I respond to the storms that rage around me. The quality of my faith in God can determine how I respond to the storms that rage all around me. In verse 37, in the text, it tells us that this furious or angry squall or storm blew up suddenly, which is common on the Sea of Galilee. It was a powerful storm that came upon them unexpectedly. Waves were breaking over the boat, apparently filling it with water to the point that it was on the verge of sinking. What we get from the text is that the danger to those in the boat was real. They're not making this up. This is not exaggerated. They are truly in danger. So compare how Jesus responds to the storm and its danger with how the disciples respond to the storm and its danger. So how did Jesus respond? Well, he was asleep, according to verse 38, in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. This is the only time in the Gospels where Jesus is described as sleeping. Jesus has complete trust in God during this dangerous situation. Later, Jesus is going to rebuke the disciples for their lack of faith. So we are probably to understand from the text that Jesus could sleep peaceably because he had faith in God. It wasn't just that he was so tired and didn't know there was a storm. It's that he was at peace. He was at rest because of his faith in God. And he could sleep well. No worries, no fears, just faith in God and the peace that comes from that. So, how did the disciples respond to the danger of the storm? Well, verse 38 tells us that the disciples were afraid for their lives and blamed Jesus for not caring about them. The disciples literally use a strong rebuke to Jesus, saying, "Teacher, are we to drown for all you care?" They assumed the worst was going to happen. They were all going to drown. That simply was not true. They just assumed it to be true. Based on the appearance of things, it seemed like a safe assumption, but it was not. Then they assumed that Jesus did not care about them, which was also not true. How often do I make assumptions about the reality of things based solely on what I see or based on my limited understanding and wisdom? I think I'm so wise and smart and perceptive, but how often do I simply get it wrong because I'm not seeing things from God's perspective? And then I wonder, how often do I get angry at God in the midst of my fear because I think he has allowed all this calamity to fall upon me while he was off sleeping somewhere instead of watching over me? It's as if I expect God to be constantly on duty, and when bad things happen or I experience difficult things in my life, I think he's been derelict in his duty, or he's failed, or maybe I've displeased him in some way and he's turned his back on me, none of which is true. In verse 40, Jesus rebuked the disciples for their lack of faith. There's no mistaking the meaning of the text. The disciples' fear and blame was the wrong response to the danger of the storm. Jesus believed the disciples should have had faith rather than fear, and he rebuked them, turning the rebuke back on them for their lack of faith in God and in him. Here's what I want to tell you. The storms in my life are occasions for faith and not fear. The storms in my life are occasions for faith and not fear. Trials provide the soil in which faith grows. The storms of life teach us to trust God instead of ourselves. The storms, the hard times, force us to turn to God and to depend on him instead of depending on ourselves or the ways and things and means of this world. I know that it's easy to be strong and brave when the weather is fine and everything is proceeding as planned. It's easy to trust God's presence and his provision when we think we don't need his presence or his provision because everything's fine and we can take care of ourselves and don't see any reason to believe things are ever going to change for us. Well, guess what? Things are changing. And it's come time for all of us to turn once again and place our faith in God. It's hard to trust God in the midst of the storms, but we need to learn to place our trust in the Father, even when it looks like we're going to drown and that God has been sleeping on the job. Do I have the capacity to trust him, even though it looks like he's being untrustworthy at this moment? So here's my question for you. Are you currently exercising your faith in God amid the storms in your life? Are you exercising your faith? The second thing I want to bring out from the text tonight is in verse 39. We see that Jesus is present in power amidst all the storms we face in life. We don't have to be afraid. It's interesting what Jesus does. He stands up, he rebukes the storm, and then immediately everything is calm. What we see is that Jesus does have power and authority over whatever it is that we're facing, whether it's man-made, whether it's some sort of spiritual reality and we're coming against the powers of darkness, or if it's the powers of nature that may be raging at us like a hurricane or a virus. Jesus is still providential King and creator. He is the supreme ruler of the universe. None of that has changed. And he has authority over everything that we might have to face. He is the creator and sustainer of the universe. And he has authority over every part of it. Now, there will be times in my life in which it appears that the storms are sinking my boat, and that the powers of darkness are winning while the church is losing. But the truth is, Jesus has already saved us, not from the perils of this life, but from the ultimate destruction in eternity because of our sin. We are already saved by grace through our faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Confidence that God has saved me from my sin allows me to face all threats with courage and trust. I know that Jesus will protect and deliver me through death itself in order to be with him forever. And if I think that's true, I certainly can trust him with whatever temporary thing I may be facing at this moment. He is faithful to help me through because he's promised me that he's faithful to lead me right through death itself so that I can be with him forever. I know that I can trust God now, even with the storms that toss my boat here and there upon the waves. Now is not the time to lose my nerve. Now is not the time to give up, because Jesus isn't finished yet. What the text from Mark 4 teaches me is that I need to trust in Jesus, period. He's the one who has authority over my life. He has authority over eternity. He has authority over the entire universe. I am to trust in Jesus. I do not trust in deliverance from my troubles. It's important to make the distinction. I am trusting in a person. I am not trusting in that person's deliverance in the midst of my current difficulties and storms. It's Jesus that I trust, not what he does for me from one moment to the next. I trust in Jesus. Storms are a part of life which no one escapes. There are no stormless seas, and all who go out on the water sooner or later have to expect the unexpected. Chaos hits our lives, and it can happen quickly. One moment, all is well, and then in a flash, the boat is sinking. Jesus does not deliver me from storms, but he delivers me through the storms to what is waiting on the other side. I know that is true because he's promised it's true about death. And his own resurrection from death is a seal guaranteeing what is going to happen for all of us who place our faith or trust in him. Let me ask you, are you trusting Jesus to guide you through your current storms? He's going to help you through. Trust in him. Tonight, I want to invite you to place your faith in Christ. It's possible that some of you out there need to trust him as your Savior and make him the Lord of your life. I want you to do that tonight. Don't waste any more time. Ask him to forgive you for your sin. Invite him into your heart as your Savior and your Lord. Trust in his death and resurrection to bring salvation to you both now and forever. And walk with Jesus. But perhaps tonight you need to make a choice to trust in Jesus amidst the storm you are currently enduring. You can exercise your faith with each new day. Make the choice. I'm going to trust Jesus. He is trustworthy. He has not failed me. He will not fail me. He is not finished yet. I invite you to trust in Jesus. Let's pray, and then that's going to be it for tonight. Pray with me. Lord, we want to trust you. We want to trust you the way that Jesus trusted you and experienced peace in the midst of the storm and slept there in the boat. I want to trust you like that. So increase my faith. Help me to know you more. To know that you are trustworthy and faithful. There will be times where it seems like you are absent, that you are far away, that you have turned your back, that you are not doing your part. In the midst of those times, help me to trust you, to keep on trusting you, until you have pulled me through whatever it is that I'm facing. And then let me keep on trusting you now and forever. Lord, I pray that you would bless all of those who are watching. I pray that you'd bless all the members of First Baptist Church. I pray, Lord, that you would bless all the citizens of Aransas County. We do not know what the days hold for us, but we know you. We trust you. Increase our faith so that we might trust you more. We love you. We turn to you. We lay our lives before you. May your will be done. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.